Well, hello and welcome to another broadcast. We're in Acts chapter 15, verse number 3. Stay tuned for our program. We've been looking at the life of Paul the Apostle, and his first missionary journey is concluded. He's back in Antioch, and the church gathered together, and the people are rejoicing, and we kind of wish it could just stop there, but it doesn't. We've read that some people came up all the way from Judah, some 300 miles. They came up to cause some problems, and they said, if these people do not be circumcised, they cannot be saved. Well, we read that Paul and Barnabas didn't just take a back seat to that. It says there was no small dissension and disputation. The word dissension has been translated uproar in one place, and it's basically an impassionate protest. They didn't just let this go. There was a disputation. That means they were disputing with a heated discussion. This wasn't something that was just going to be set aside because it was false doctrine. And there's a lesson here for us. We don't just let false doctrine permeate into our churches, or they're going to destroy the churches. Well, they're in a transitional period here. They don't have the Bible to go to like we do today and get all the facts about the local church. They have the Old Testament. The New Testament, of course, not been written yet. And so they're going to go down to Jerusalem, we saw in our last program, and they are going to have a discussion down there and figure out with the apostles the truth about this whole thing. And so we read in Acts chapter 15 and verse number 13, and being brought on their way by the church, and that's important, everything that God is doing now at this point on in this dispensation is he's doing it through his local church, and I might add only his local church. We've put on all these parachurch ministries thinking God can't handle it with his churches, and we were running now into all the major problems that have come from that. In any event, they were brought on their way by the church. And they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. That is so interesting. Here we're having a really hard time. You put yourself in this position. Paul and Barnabas have been on this great missionary journey, and they've come back, and they're rejoicing in their local church, and these people come in and cause trouble. What do you do when people cause trouble? Well, you do as we see here. You don't just let it go. But on the other hand, what were they doing? They caused great joy unto all the brethren. There's not a time that, you know, the devil would like us just to sit back and feel sorry for ourselves, have some kind of a pity party because things aren't going our way. Well, the thing about pity parties, you know, is that you're the only one there. I mean, nobody even knows you're having a party. You're just there having pity all by yourself. It's really kind of dumb. And so Paul and Barnabas aren't really kind of dumb. They're gone their way. They're heading down. They've had some situations here. Sure, trouble. But what's the thing they do? They go to Samaria, and they go and tell them how all the other Gentiles and that they've been visiting have been saved, and they cause great joy unto all the brethren. What a lesson we need to learn here. Well, we read in verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church, They weren't received of a mission board or a newspaper or a television station. They were received of the church. God's program has been and should have remained the local church for the last 2,000 years. Well, they came to the church, and they were received of the apostles and the elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Now, notice it says the apostles and the elders. You'll see as you go through the book of Acts, it talks about the apostles and the elders, and then later on, it drops the apostles, and it just speaks about the elders and the church people. And so, again, it's important to understand that we're in this transitional period here between when the Bible is going to be completed, and we're just getting started at this time with our local church age. Well, we see here they came to Jerusalem. The Jerusalem church was the assembly of Christianity basically among the Jews, and the church at Antioch was an assembly of Christianity of those that were Gentiles. Well, they're having the discussion here in Jerusalem at the church there, and in verse number 5 we read, "But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed." Now get that phrase, "certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses." Now, it happens a lot. These people came in, they were Pharisees, and they were Christians. They believed. They had gotten saved. But what happens, and it happens today too, is people get saved and they bring all their old baggage with them. And so we bring in a lot of religious baggage sometimes when we've been saved out of some other religion. And Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, these Pharisees are causing some problems in this meeting, or they're not Pharisees really anymore. They're Christians, but they came out of the Pharisees. And so we read in verse 6, "And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up." Now, he's going to say some things here. And it's interesting that these are the last recorded words of Peter in the book of Acts. He certainly said other things in other books. But it's the last thing we read about him here. And it's interesting as he fades off the scene in this book and Paul the Apostle comes to the forefront. Well, here we read that Peter rose up and said unto them, "Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Now, he's referring back to Acts chapter 10 when he went to visit Cornelius. And you know that story, how God was behind that. The Holy Spirit directed them to go. And he's bringing them into remembrance of that. He said, "We had this discussion." And it's recorded back in Acts chapter 11, where they came back to Jerusalem after being with Cornelius. And you'll read there at the beginning of Acts chapter 11, there was a contention there too. The apostles were upset that Peter had gone in to eat with the Gentiles. And I want to say again, this is a very minimum of 7 years and more likely 14 years after Pentecost. So this nonsense that we have been shoveled that they were all of one accord, Jews and Gentiles back here in Acts chapter 2, is just not scriptural. It's just not right. But you know what happens is we read somebody's commentary, and it's much easier to study a commentary for 20 minutes than to spend 20 hours in the Word of God. And we come up with a wrong timetable here, and that's what we've done. Any event, that's another message. We're not going to talk about that today. He said, "You remember now," Peter saying, "that we had this discussion back there." He goes on to say here in verse 8, "And to put no difference," God has put no difference between us and them, the Gentiles, "purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ," that's, he said, "how people are saved, even as they," the Gentiles, "are saved." So he says, why tempt ye God? He's quoting from Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 16, which says, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God." Well, then in verse number 12, we read, "Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me." Now you understand that James is the pastor of the church there in Jerusalem. And so James says here in verse number 14, "Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles and take out of them a people for his name. He's referring back to what Peter had said back there. He calls him Simon here. He's referring to Peter. What he had said when he came back from after he had been with Cornelius. And goes on to say that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles as well that are going to call upon his name. Further down, he says the Gentiles are turned to God. The Gentiles are turned to God. James goes on to give some support here from the Old Testament and prophecy and that this would happen. And so then we read, then pleased it the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and the elders and the brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. And he goes on in this letter to say, for as much as we have heard that certain went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law. He goes on to say, to whom we gave no such commandments. They're just causing trouble. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same thing by mouth, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And so he goes on to give them some more instructions, and it says, so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. Well, it says, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation, and Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted with the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried their space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And I want to say right here that it was from this group that these men were chosen, men who they knew, men who were actively involved in the local church. They were the ones who were chosen to be missionaries. Well, we read again in verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And then after some days, we read that Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Well, in verse 37, we read, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought it not good to take him with them. Why? Because he had departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And so Paul said, no, we're not taking him. Well, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And so I kind of wish this part of the story wasn't there, but it's there. Contention was so sharp between them. Now, you understand that God only has sinners to use. Whether your name is Paul or Silas or Bob Kirkland or whatever your name is, we're a bunch of sinners. And hopefully you're a sinner that's saved by grace, but we're still sinners. And we've got that old nature. And here we have a contention. Now, the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. And so let's not think for a moment that somebody isn't making a mistake here. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong in this issue. And so Barnabas wanted to take John Mark and give him another chance. He was his nephew. That may have had something to do with it. Paul the Apostle said, no, we're not doing this again. We're just not doing this again. He's not coming with us. And the contention was so sharp, they departed asunder from one from the other. And Barnabas took Mark, and he sailed on to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Well, we're out of time. You hear that music? That tells me we've got to go. Well, tune in again tomorrow. We'll continue this series from this point.